Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Welcome everybody to the Tommy, Hector and Larita podcast, wherever you are listening around the world. How's it going, guys?
Are you able to tell us where you are?
Yes, I'm on the road, Tommy, yes. I'm on the road. I am now in a little town called the top is coming off.
He's roasted. Sweat.
Sorry, I had to take off the jumper on better the heat there.
Near now as well. I'm in a Best Boutique hotel, which is like this place. It's got wine carpet, wine curtains.
It looks like a strip club.
It's trying to be a boutique hotel. There's a smell of diffusers and air fresheners everywhere, and it's grand compared to some of the.
Where is it?
We are in a town called Stara Zagora, 250 miles from the Black Sea, 250 miles from Sofia, and 300 miles from the Turkish border in the centre.
Is it near Lanesborough?
It's just past Lanesborough, in on the left. Just after the bridge, you take a left for Stara Zagora.
Is it? It's between Lanesborough and Glasson.
Exactly. You drank it one night. So
just beyond the dog and duck.
The weather has been shit. It's been raining.
In what way?
Oh, it's been cold and wet. We had to go to Decathlon in a town called Plovdiv. Plovdiv.
What the fuck is
Decathlon? This is like...
So it sounds like you're hallucinating at a Scrabble board.
We were in it. Okay, so there's only a couple of cities in Bulgaria. There's Sofia, the capital. After that, there's Plovdiv, Plovdiv. And then there's Stara Zagora, and that's it. Now, you do know Victoria Plain.
Is it a country? Tell me this. Is it a country full of tombs?
You could say that. We're travelling in a shitty fucking Renault van with seats like I'm in a lounge in Ireland in the 1970s. Compared to what I had in fucking Turkey, we had this flight fucking... Oh, man. Your man could put on live television. He was putting on the soccer for us, Besiktas versus Fenerbahce. We had Wi-Fi. The driver was brilliant. His nickname was Carlos. And every time he opened the door, he had another umbrella. We were treated like rock stars in Turkey. We crossed the border, which I have to talk to you about. But fuck me, the vehicle we have chosen here. It's got about 150 advertisements on the side of it. Three rows of seats. And we've been in it for about 5 or 6 hours every day.
Is it smelly in there?
In the van?
Yeah.
No, it's just all the equipment and all the bags and in and out and in and out and into the van and into the van.
What happens when someone farts after 3 hours in the journey? Is it?
You just get used to it. So that's where we are at the moment, central Bulgaria.
And what's your sense of Bulgaria? What's your sense of it?
The sense of this place is that it's like 1983. It feels as if buildings are the 80s.
Altered images are on top of the pops. Everyone on the nav is on the dole.
Kajagoogoo, Ultravox, everyone on the dole. Tenement, dark buildings. Sometimes you see that it is changing and it will change, but there was 45 years of that Soviet hand down on all the countries around here. If I may paint you a picture.
Oh, please.
Oh, yes, do, please.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you that to my north is Romania. To the side of me is Serbia. Down to the other side is Croatia, North Macedonia, and Kosovo. And then in underneath me are the Greeks. And then over to the
you're in a vortex of crack.
Which way will you turn for more crack?
Jesus Christ. Fucking dungeons and fucking dragoons.
I'm in the old Eastern Bloc, and it feels like that. Really, really does. Very interesting place. And there's poverty, and there's richness, and then there's working class, and there's coal mines, and there's darkness and rain, and it's been lashing for the last couple of days, which we didn't expect. And I got to the Black Sea and I wanted to have a skinny dip or just hop into it, but it was cold, yeah. It was eerie, it was grey, and there's Russian fucking freighters going by and massive petroleum fucking gasoline tankers, and the Black Sea lived up to its name this morning when I went down there.
And would being in a place like that get you down, or is your spirit undefeatable?
The guest house I stayed in last night would get it was like staying in somebody's house. Evan has an amazing knack of finding these fucking shitholes.
The worst accommodation.
So once you go into a house, well, there was a lady at the bottom of the stairs, and it was a wooden type house near back from the beach. The wind was howling, it was raining, we were tired, we were fucking 6 hours on the road. All we want is clean shower and fucking get in and be safe. And then we had to open the door and there was a dog barking like a chihuahua. And I went, this is not... And I turned to Evan, I said, this is not a guest house. This is somebody's fucking house. She's after closing that door from the kitchen. And then she just... There's not a word of English. Roscoe is now 900 flight cases, 200 cameras. Fucking, he's giving out. He's. I want the room on the floor, on the ground floor. So he gets in first. Next minute, there was a cat coming down the stairs. The dog is trying to get out the kitchen door. And I'm going, where am I staying? And you and Todor, the driver, goes, Hector, you...
Todor. He just made his name up.
Todor is the driver, but listen to this, it's better. He's a puppeteer. And what am I He's a puppeteer. He's one of the great puppeteers of Bunker. That's what he does. And I said to him, what have you... He says, I'm a puppeteer. I do puppets, and myself and my wife are puppeteers. And I went, what else do you do? Well, he said, I'm the voice of Shrek in Bulgarian. He's played all the fucking great cartoons. He's a voiceover artist. But anyway, Todor said to us, you're on the top floor. Well, I had to fucking lunge me bag up the stairs. And I got to a room and it was like cold and musty. And then there was pictures of a child on the wall. And then another one as the child got older with his girlfriend. So I was obviously staying in somebody's bedroom. And I had
all the family are in one room downstairs earning a few quid.
And then there was nothing. It was freezing, and they had this big industrial Eastern Bloc fucking air conditioning thing that when you turned on had that smell of dust and fustiness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. And the net curtains were like, shh. And it was just one of those nights. I said to Evan, you fucking fairly picked them.
And was this because it was just a really small little village and there was no hotel there?
Small little town on the Black Sea. We had a story to do there today where I went and drank a load of illegal moonshine that they make up in the hills called rakia.
Did you get drunk?
No, I had a couple of... This place, this story... Rakia is the national moonshine. They're poaching. It's made from fruit. They can make it with pears, with peaches, with damsons, with grapes. Grapes is the main thing at the moment. So anybody who has a bit of land and grows their grapes or grows any fruit would bring it to the Rakia distillery, like a poaching distillery, the local guy. We walked into this place high up in the hills. First of all, when you see a load of Bulgarian men in their 60s and 50s and 70s wearing combats and boots, you know you're in a fucking dangerous place. These boys are all ex-coal miners. You don't fuck with them. They've all earrings and they don't speak a word of English. And they just open the door of this sort of like at the back of a house, an allotment. We went down an alleyway and into this amazing poaching still type place with a table, a chair. They had a sort of an eating area, and then they had the distillery, and it was all fire, massive pots, pipes, and they were firing in this fermented grapes and firing it in. So we spent the day with them. It was incredible. Not a word of English between them. It was real, real rural Bulgarian stuff.
And tell me, if it's illegal, how come the making of it is so open, or do people just pay no heed to the government and the government pays no heed to the people?
The people of Bulgaria have been drinking rakia since time began. And I think it was the drink of the coal miners and the drink of the Eastern Bloc. And it was the drink of the people who had no money at the time. The only thing to keep them going here when the iron fist of communism was ruling this country was rakia. It was their go-to moonshine drink. There were distilleries in every little village. They were hidden away. The government have tried to stop them. We tried to get access to about 10 of them, and only one of the guys decided that he'd do it on camera to us, because it's not, you don't publicise it, but it's fermented grape and distilled, and then they leave it for 3 and 4 and 5 years in barrels, and then they take it out. And the only way I can describe it, I have 2 magnificent litres of it, and I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back, hand luggage, for the hen house, and we are going to slug rakia in the hen house the minute I get back.
Does it just taste like poutine? Sorry, Tommy.
It's warm. It goes down really nicely. There's an amazing floral taste off it. They chop some bark from trees, really scented bark off certain trees, and they throw loads of things in to give it as it ferments in these barrels for years and years. And sometimes you get a 10-year-old rakia, or they won't drink it until about 3 years. It takes a little bit of a yellow. It looks a little bit maiwadi lemony, but by God, the taste, it was lovely. We sat there, they cooked a load of pig's ears and a bit of meat on the barbecue. They had homemade chutneys, and there was something really nice about it. They were very kind, very open, and they, you know, after a couple of glasses of it, we all started laughing. I had a translator there as well, but it was interesting to see that. It really is the poutine of Bulgaria.
And tell me, what did you have for breakfast this morning in the shit B&B? What did she right. serve up for you?
So the B&B was so bad that I set the alarm for about 7:45, and then sometimes I don't know where I am when I wake up. It's all a fucking dream. And
then, can I ask you one more question before you go? When you're travelling, do you still sleep in the nip?
Yes, I do. So but I didn't last night because I didn't want my body to touch the sheets. So I put on a tracksuit.
There's probably cats in the bed.
I put on a little tracksuit, and I kept my socks on as well. I'm trying not to smell the pillow, because it was fucking not. So sometimes what I do is I put a t-shirt of my own over the pillow, and I'll dress the pillow in my t-shirt, so I'll smell myself when I'm trying to go to sleep. And then I'll just think of fucking running around Claire. Then what I do is I try and think of going for a run. I'm at home. I'm going for a run. I'm at home. I'm now running here. I'll think of nice things. Go to sleep, Hector. Yes. Go to sleep. And then you look at your watch.
And would you be annoyed at Evan then in the morning? Like,
annoyed?
Saying, never.
He doesn't give a flying flute. He's down there now. That lad is sleeping in a barn.
So tell us what you have for breakfast.
So then, Todor, I said.
Did you text him, or was he in the bed beside you?
No, he's downstairs with the other guy, Ruman, who's the other guy helping out, and he's funny. He's a cameraman. So they're always up, strangely enough. But over here, there's no coffee shops. There's nowhere for breakfast, because it's like there's nothing here. It's sparse, Eastern Bloc. So every couple of 100 yards on the...
It's like the Lisbon Industrial Estate on a Sunday morning.
There's nothing going on. There's fucking nothing. Exactly, Tommy. You'd like driving around. That's closed. That's closed. That's closed. There's fucking nobody here. There's one car outside the AIB, and that's it.
So what did you have?
I said, Todor, what are we going to do? Right. And then he goes, oh, don't worry. We will sort breakfast later. We're down near the Black Sea.
In other words, lunch.
By the time we get out of here.
So Roscoe's grumpy as fuck because he got 700 cables and 400 fucking plugs and 600 extension leads and 600 boxes, and he's got to charge everything and load it in, and big grumpy head in him. And then Todor ran off down the street, and he came back with these tiny little espresso Lavazza yolks. And I said, well, Jesus, Todor. Is there a coffee? First of all, they don't know. They don't do lattes. They don't know. They just do espressos. He said, no, there's a machine every couple of 100 yards in Bulgaria called a Lavazza machine on the side of the street, like a vending machine. And that's what the Bulgarians use. They go in and you pay about less than a euro, 50 cents for a coffee, Tommy. And everyone is at the machines. These machines are sprinkled everywhere in the towns. So anyway, we did a bit of filming at the Black Sea, and because there's no oxygen in the Black Sea, I was giving it a bit of the old fucking geography from St. Pat's, saying there's no, it's one of the only places in the world that has no oxygen. Therefore, the freshwater fish that stay on the top cannot touch to the bottom. So I was giving it socks. And then Todor goes, yes, we have breakfast organized. This is like 12:30 at this And we're all grumpy. We're grumpy. It's raining. We should be in fucking Bali, but we're not. We're in Bulgaria. And we all are wearing Decathlon clothes that we brought flip-flops and shorts, and now we're in fucking hoodies and fleeces. And he said, yes, yes, we have a place. So we walked into it. Everyone smokes, by the way. So you walk into a restaurant. The girl who's cooking the food is...
Oh, no, Hector. Come on. That's disgusting.
She's sucking on a fucking 20 Benson and Hedges because everyone smokes here, and the smell of smoke in the restaurants. And like, we walk in, and then Toto goes, I have food sorted for you inside. And we go in, and the smell of cigarettes gets worse. And then we sit in, and then these cold omelets came out with a slice of cheese.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And a dash of cigarette ash.
I think they made them about half an hour earlier with 3 bits of cucumber, 3 bits of tomato, a slice of cheese, and a cold omelet. And it was like, and then I asked for a cappuccino, and she, I kid you not, they came out with a straw.
Stop it.
They fucking drink cappuccinos with a straw.
Was that cold as well?
And a cold omelette. You want to see Roscoe's face, and your man Toto was like, yes, good, yes, very good. So anyway, that's Bulgaria. But apart from that, they're beautiful people, they're great people, and there's a real feel of Eastern Bloc here.
And how much longer now are you going
to
stay there?
So we've got another week or two to go, Tommy, and then we'll be back.
In Bulgaria?
No. We've got a couple of more days, and then we're heading into Serbia, which will be very interesting. But I must say, I flew into Istanbul last week, and of all the places I've been and fucking cities that I've seen, I swear to God, there is nothing that can, the feast, the visual and audio feast that you're getting from the moment you arrive in the city of Istanbul. I have never seen anything like it, where I can stand in Europe and look across the Bosphorus, and that's Asia, a city of 17 million people. I'll take a little ferry across the road and I'm in Asia, Tommy. I can have a cup of tea in Asia and 50 minutes
later. Can you actually do that?
Ah, incredible. It's just one of the most amazing, exhilarating cities of vibrancy. It's like the old and the new, and the turrets and the mosques, and you can feel the Ottomans and the Romans, and you can feel the fucking, you just know that you're in a place, the birthplace of fucking life. I mean, we think of Greece and Rome, but Turkey, Istanbul, that's where it all happened. And we had an amazing 5 or 6 days there. Never seen anything like traffic. On one occasion, I was 4.5-5 hours in a van trying to get from one story back to the hotel. I fell asleep. I was snoring. I got out of the Jeep. I went out of the van. I went for a coffee in the same traffic jam. Wow. Came back, and the traffic hadn't moved. And then 4.5 hours later, we finally get. And the lovely driver, Carlos, he was apologetic and all that. But traffic is the only bad thing about Istanbul.
And Kamir, did you head out the country in Turkey?
Yes, Tommy. Yes, we did.
And what was that like?
The minute we left, it was very interesting to see that, you know, Istanbul is such a sprawling city that goes on forever. Yeah. And then the minute you get outside it, it's scorched brown earth, very hilly, and then almost agricultural left and right. It's just, as far as the eye could see, it's agricultural and it's working farms and small farms and holdings. And we decided to go all the way down the Bosphorus towards the Dardanelles because we wanted to go to Gallipoli. It was big. That was big on the agenda that we wanted to get to Gallipoli to see where, you know, so many Irishmen had lost their lives. And we got down there after we stayed in another guest house, which was absolutely.
Can you tell us the story of Gallipoli for those of us who don't remember?
I'd heard something about it in history back in the day, and obviously the First World War and the Allied forces. So for the Allied forces that were fighting the German Empire against Germany and Austria back in 1915. The Allied forces were made up of many men and from all over the world, and the Anzacs and the Australians. But in the middle of all of those was up to 4,000 Irish men fighting for whatever cause, for the Allied forces, for the British Army. The Royal Munster Fusiliers and the Royal Dublin Fusiliers were the majority of the Irishmen that fought in World War One. And on April the 25th, 1915, I think it was, they were sent from an island way off in the Mediterranean, that the Churchill, who was given the orders, decided that they were going to attack from the flank in round the back and come up behind Turkey, because Turkey, the Ottomans at the time, Turkey wasn't founded, they were supporting Germany, so they decided to come in from behind and outflank them. Little did they know that you don't mess with Turkish people on their land. They're passionate fucking football supporters. They're passionate people. Yeah. You don't fuck with the Ottoman Empire. And the boys came off the boat on April the 25th, 1915, and they were slaughtered in groups of 10 and 15 and 20. And it's
by who?
By the Ottomans, who had the higher ground on the beach, Tommy, as they waded in. As there was no landing craft that pushed up on the beach back then.
Yeah,
it was small dinghies with 10 men in each, a commander, a lieutenant, and then all the corporals. And as they landed on the beach, they were slaughtered from the higher position on those big machine gun, the big continuous machine gun that could
fire. Yeah. So come here, tell me, were the Turks then fighting with the Germans, or were they just fighting on their own behalf?
The Turks were supporting the German Empire. The Ottomans at the time were supporting the Germans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So therefore, they were landing in this southern tip of Turkey, Gallipoli, a couple of hundred miles from Istanbul, an amazingly beautiful peninsula and a small little beach, a headland and hills in the distance. And then that's where the Irish landed. A beautiful beach. And the sun was shining when we got there. And then you open this little gateway and you walk into a small cemetery that is dedicated to the men of the Royal Munster Fusiliers and the Royal Dublin Fusiliers. And 265 bodies have been recovered. And each one of them have been given a beautiful headstone with a small engravement and their name and their age and the day they died and a small little...
So tell us what the surnames were.
Well, Tommy, like, and I was saying to Loretta, I don't search these places out, museums or cemeteries or that history, you know. I'm not a historical person, even though I have an appreciation of it. But when I stood in that graveyard and I looked out to the sea, and in front of me were the names of all these young Irish men, 21, 23, 29, 26, Ferreter, Folan, it's all done in alphabetical order, Fitzgerald, yeah. Dolan, O'Brien, it's just O'Brien. And yeah. then it was unbelievably powerful when I stood there on my own in this remote place in southern Turkey, and I saw name after name after name after name after name after young Irishmen who were lost their lives on that day, and they all...
Gossens
from the country, Tommy, from all over the country on April the 25th and April the 26th. But there was something beautiful and peaceful about it, that they're remembered in such a nice way. And I was saying that the Todor told us that there is a local stonemason that has been assigned by the government who takes care, and there's a group of them, and it's a fourth generation family thing down in these beaches where all the Anzacs lost their lives because thousands and thousands of Allied forces, international soldiers, were slaughtered. Each of the graveyards are tended by the same family. That family have the job paid by the government to make sure that those cemeteries are looked after. And in between each of the headstones were the most beautiful little plants and the most beautiful little rose bushes. And it was tended beautifully. And even though it was such a sad place, the sun was beaming down, the wind, and it was just beautiful. The waves were coming in, and I was looking at this beach going, this beach hasn't changed nothing. And I'm here with them now. And I really felt I was here there with them. And I'm glad we did a really nice piece there. We spent a couple of hours, and I talked to a historian about it. And he painted a fantastic picture of how brave those young Irish men were as they lost their lives. And they were blown to kingdom come, as the Fury brothers sing, on the shores of Gallipoli.
Tell me, when did the Turkish government, when did the government decide that the people that the Turkish people were fighting against ought to be commemorated?
Yeah.
Like, that's half a strange one, isn't
it? I think the Turkish, obviously, Turkey wasn't known as Turkey back then. It was the Ottoman Empire, run by the Ottomans. It was the Ottomans. So there was a soldier in the Turkish army, a Michael Collins figure, a Porrick Pierce, a leader, who became the leader and the founding father of Turkey. He fought in that...
The Paddy O'Shea of Turkey.
The Paddy O'Shea. He was the Graham Geraghty of Turkey.
Oh, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
He was...
Real
heroes. Oh, Lord. He was the Willie Joe Padden, if I may say so, Loretta, of Turkey. His name was Atatürk. Atatürk.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the man that you see adorning at the back of a taxi, in a shop. You have to have his image. If you run a business in Turkey, you have to have an image of Atatürk. Can you imagine that? He's the man that allowed Turkish people, the Ottomans didn't allow surnames, and he allowed Turkish people for the first time way back then to have a surname. He rose his way through the army, became a politician, and is the founding father of independence of Turkey way back in the day. And he was the lad that led Turkey away into a new world, and he's revered. even though the new guy now, well, he's not new. He's the dictator Erdogan. He's
Erdogan.
He's on his last legs. He's this lad is trying to. He's allowing the Sharia law and the Muslim world to come in, but Istanbul and Turkey are fighting back because it's a modern society. They are very lax, even though you can hear the call to prayer. It is not like other Muslim countries. There's a real feeling of knowledge and enlightenment with the Muslims here, and they are tolerant of new lifestyles and the new world because they have Asia and they have Europe. They've got that all going on.
And tell me this, it is also a great country for moustaches.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You'd fit in brilliantly, Tommy.
You'd be perfect over there, Tommy.
The big, thick, black moustaches in Turkey.
I swear, we need to get on the road to places like this with the podcast. We need to go to a hammam where we can go to a Turkish bath. 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up for a Turkish bath the other morning. And I had my own...
Why? I tell you why, because it gave you the opportunity to be in the nip.
Were you allowed to be in the nip in the Turkish bath?
Well, actually, you have to.
Yes, all he put around me was a little slither of a little Turkish towel, and your man had a Mohican and tattoos, and he naked and he bit me.
Did he bit the shite out of you?
Well, you sit in, right? So it was a beautiful, beautiful marble, fantastic domes and the designs. Like it almost felt it was like going back in time, 300 years old. We went in there at 4 o'clock in the morning, started filming at 5:30, there was nobody there. We had the run of the hammam, the smell of eucalyptus and the hot sauna. And then in we went, sitting on this hot marble plinth in this beautiful, huge Turkish bath. And he doesn't say a word to you. He just gets the hot water out of a bucket, comes over and completely washes you with it, fires it onto you, starts slapping your back. Then he goes, right, turn around, lie down, turn around. More buckets of hot water on you, slapping your back, pulling your leg up. And then with a lovely twist like a tea towel, he starts making bubbles out of this thing and he starts spraying me with bubbles and then starts massaging me. Now, the massage is not nice. It's deep, it's painful.
Yes.
And then he gets, the only way I can describe it, you know the little thing you clean the saucepans with?
The scrubbers.
He gets a scrubber and he exfoliates your skin. And I swear to God, he went at me from my toes to my ears.
Was it like a Brillo pad?
A Brillo pad. And he scrubbed me. And then he said something really interesting. He said, you are clean now. He said, you are clean at the end of it. When he bucket more water, he washed my hair. He pushed my head down in between his legs instead of washing my hair.
Oh my God, you don't mess with these guys.
But then after it, he said, you are clean. All the dead
skin.
You have
cleaned the rectum.
All the new Hector.
What did you say to me?
Nothing. Tell me, what have you noticed about the difference between women in Bulgaria and Turkey? Like Turkish women would be beautiful, kind of dark skinned.
Incredibly beautiful.
And the Bulgarians a bit more squat.
The Bulgarians are a little bit more, yeah. The Bulgarians are not like the Turkish ladies. Having said that, Turkey is being invaded by they call them the Gulfies, the Omanis and the Saudis.
Yeah. Navin Omanis.
Having no manis. They're being invaded by the Gulfies who come down and spend their money and they get their noses done and they get their boobs done and they get their cheekbones done because
but what about the hair? You didn't get the hair done out
no,
there.
No, but I was in a clinic and I have myself and Roscoe being referred. We spent a day in a clinic as well watching a lad from Manchester getting the hair done.
And you didn't get the teeth done either while
you
were there.
No, but I have all the contacts now and I've my driver Carlos, we are all sorted. But an amazing city of Istanbul. I cannot tell you. Forget New York.
No, we'll go.
Forget the whole lot of it. The most exciting city I think I've ever been in is Istanbul.
And what do they do for crack there? Like, are they dancers? Are they drinkers? Are they?
They love coffee and they love tea and they love alcohol. They love food and you can do whatever you want in Istanbul and they love soccer. I went off with a load of
Beşiktaş. Did you go to a nightclub or anything?
No, because it's still closing. Like things are a bit...
Oh, what's the COVID situation over there?
COVID in Turkey, they're doing pretty well, but they took the Chinese vaccination. Erdogan obviously did a deal with the Chinese where he bought the Sinovac. Yeah. He bought 450 billion doses of Sinovac off the Chinese buy, right? Because Turkey played the game. Russia, they're very friendly with. They play the game because of where they are. And the Sinovac doesn't work. So now the hundreds and hundreds of millions of people that don't have the vaccine have to go and get it again. Anyone that's travelling with us has to have the Pfizer jab and because they're in the car with us, close contact.
Yeah,
but when we got to Bulgaria, It's very sad here because only 20% of the population. It's to do with the with the level of income and stuff, and it's not available, and the government aren't pushing it out as much. So 20%
in Bulgaria, there's not much vaccine.
No, it's
and is there much COVID there?
No, there is a lot. There's thousands of cases every day, but you don't see it. We're sort of locked away in our own little bubble where everyone else is tested. But I wear masks all the time, and we sanitize the hands, and we just have to be careful. Suppose like in Ireland, you know.
Mm. So the Turkey has a border with Iran.
Yes. And Syria, Tommy.
And Syria. So, and it would be Kurdistan, like Kurdish Iran would be up against it as well. So is there a huge thing of refugees trying to cross the border from both those countries into Turkey? And Turkey's kind of saying, fuck off to them. You're not going to be coming in here now.
Yeah, but the 5 million people have crossed the border from Syria into Turkey. Like, get that into your head. 5 million. That's a lot of people. Erdogan is trying to give a lot of citizenship to refugees because he wants to increase his power with the Muslim world. The Islamic world are the main voters for him. There's a massive young population in Turkey who want change. I mean, there's something like, I don't know, well over 50, 60% of the population are under 35 years of age, and they are the new Turks that want to live in the new world. Erdogan is a very, very powerful man with his Islamic ways, and he wants new voters to come in, and he's celebrating the Islamic ways. That's why he loves the Gulfies coming in. But Turkey is because of its geographic location, it's not neither European nor Asian. They just want to be in the middle of it, and they're celebrating that every which way they can, which is a brilliant thing. But 5 million refugees have come in, for good or for bad, into Turkey. And a lot of people aren't happy about it, but Erdogan is playing the game. He plays a game with Russia, he plays a game with Ukraine, he plays a game with Georgia, he plays a game with Albania, he plays a game with all of them. And he's a very powerful player in that area down there.
I tell you, Hector, I was watching a bit of Billy Connolly the other night, and he is, himself and yourself have an awful lot in common. You're both very, very natural storytellers. And if ever you were inclined to get up on stage and just go yapping, man, it'd suit you like a duck to water. Absolutely no problem to you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now, you've been in Bulgaria and Turkey and all these small little towns. Larissa, have you been down to Foxford or Swinford or?
just to Ballina, Tommy.
You're up to Ballina.
Nothing more exciting than that.
So have you been for the past week? What have you been
good
up to?
Well, I've been kind of sick, so I haven't really been doing a whole pile. And we've got club championship this weekend, so it's all kicking off again. And it's make or break for Knockmore. So we're county champions, but we either win this weekend or we are gone out of the championship for this year. So,
okay. So will you lift yourself out of the bed no matter what state you're in? And
oh, yes, I will. Yes, I've been out of the bed anyway because I've having to look after my father. So I have been out of the bed anyway for the last week. But that's pretty much as exciting as my week has been.
And would you not be afeard of giving your father whatever it is you have?
He's got every vaccination known to man. He's got his third Pfizer. He's got a flu vaccine and needs must, I suppose. You have to take the chance. So
you're both having great adventures. I'm stuck in this tunnel of work.
Tommy, Derek.
Well, it's just that it's the same thing every day. It's kind of like it's up at 5:30. I have to have a shave and leave the mustache on. Then I get in a car, and then I'm on set and I'm there till I don't get back to the hotel till about 7:30 at night, and you just be wrecked. So you're kind of.
And can you sleep when you go to bed? Like, would you go to bed at like 8, 9 o'clock, or would you be just too tired?
So you have to have a double espresso when I come in just to get through the emails. And then so I'd be slightly wired till about 11, and then I'd be lying there tossing and turning at 12, and at 1 I'd eventually fall asleep, and the alarm goes off at 5:30.
That's a rough zone.
It is. It's very intense work, you know. But it's the same thing day after day. You know, so I have nothing to be telling you. There's nothing to say.
Tommy, in the back of your mind, and I know it's funny because you don't dwell on what you've done, like on a show, you won't watch it back or whatever. You've often said that. Are you getting a good vibe of your performance? Are you getting feedback at all from the director? Are you happy the way it's going?
No, you'd never be happy. I wouldn't be happy anyway. Even when I scored for Liverpool against Man United, I wasn't happy.
And you were waiting to do that all your life.
Even when you were goalkeeper for Simonstown, never happy.
Yeah, saved a penalty on Alan Cantwell with my leg. I wasn't happy. I don't know. It's one of those things where you don't. You do take after take after take, and I would often feel lucky if I got one half right.
Oh, stop, Tommy.
You know what
Come
I mean?
On. Give yourself some credit.
What I'm telling you, I'm only you're letting you know like what it's like.
I know.
But a lot of actors would be in the same position. You know, you just kind of. But it's a pleasure to be doing the work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The day does go by fast.
I should have sent you a link during your lunch break today. There was a really exciting thing happening in Mayo today. So there's a new road from Ballina to Dublin, and it's been done in stages.
What?
So at Swinford, there's a really bad bridge. If you remember, if you know when you're going,
I know
from
yes, yes.
To Swinford,
I know,
it's
yeah.
pretty shitty.
Just past Tiernan's shop, was that Foxford?
Yeah,
where's the Tiernan outside, Brothers Fisher's
yeah,
shop?
Yeah, that's in Foxford, and then you go outside. Yeah. You're on the wrong road there, but you go to Swinford, and before you come yes. to Swinford, in a little place near Killasser, there's a bad little bridge there going across the River Moy.
And what happened?
Is there a troll underneath it or something?
They're putting a new bridge in. And there was live coverage today, streamed live for everyone to watch around the world. And I was talking to some people who drove past the old road today, and there was hundreds of people out watching them build.
Huge
lay the new bridge. They welded it all together on site, and then they lifted it with a big crane and put it down. So it's all, you know, it's so exciting, Tommy.
What did it look like?
It took hours and hours. Like, it was a live stream for about
Will that
six
be on
hours,
mega structures? That'll be on mega structures on Discovery.
Probably, yeah, probably. Or just.
But what does the bridge look like, Loretta? Is it like, so there was an old,
they built
beautiful
a new road.
Stone
they
bridge.
They built a new road, you see. They're bypassing that bridge now. So you can still go on the old road, because I know you like taking the old roads.
But the slow road.
The slow road. But this is a new bypass. They're bypassing.
That's amazing. And what? How many minutes will it save?
I don't know, like, but it's just exciting that we're getting a new road, like.
Where is the road that has all the crosses by the side of it? All the little white crosses.
Oh, yeah, I think that's if you go to Sligo to Boyle. I think it's that way, isn't it? If
yeah.
you go to Boyle.
Do you ever drive that, Hector?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So it's if you go, do you know what you're coming out?
I think. And if you go from Ballisadair down to.
If you take do you know as you're coming from Dublin on the motorway yeah. and you go, you're past the Apple Green and you've had the coffee yes. and the croissant and the egg sandwich and you go yes. left for Galway and you go right for Mullingar and Sligo.
Yes.
Well, if you keep ploughing on that and plough on and plough on till after the motorway stops and plough on and plough on, you come to this stretch of road and it's ghastly ghouly. There's about 8 or 9 miles of little white crosses by the side of it to remember all the poor souls who lost their lives there because of the danger of it.
But I wonder, is that
near Edgeworthstown? Is that near Edgeworthstown in Longford or
no,
somewhere? Further on?
So. Towards Sligo, I think.
Jesus.
What were you saying about Louisa?
There's an awful lot of them. Like, would it have represented all the people that were killed on that stretch of road, or is it just a kind of
a holy thing,
monument or something?
I think it's great, actually. I think whatever encourages people to slow the fuck down.
I like slowing down as I go by crocheting. You know when you see your man who has all the ducks
getting
and the swans.
Getting caught speeding, that'll get you to slow down. Check your rear view mirrors and stuff like that. I got caught there recently, so he told me to keep an eye on my rear view mirrors.
Loretta,
he was following me for quite some time.
I have a bag of condiments here. Condiments.
Sorry.
From my local doctor. I've got every sort of yolk that we need for anything when we're on the road. I'm worried about you there. You're very nasally. And what are you taking?
Oh no, I'm fine. I'm 100% better than I was last week. So I'm ready
had a hot
for the
whiskey?
Beer. I'm ready for alcohol again. I'm ready for socialising again. I've missed out on it big time.
Hector, and while you've been away, I saw a headline in a paper, O'Hookagon strikes again. So,
oh, yes.
Well,
tell us about your pride in your gossip.
Well, the youngest lad, Tommy, and his mother is very proud. And
or your wife, as she's also known
his
as.
Mother, who brought him into the world. His granny, yes. Lord rest Trina, my mum, would be yes. very proud, a proud Tuam woman. Because if you made the Tuam Herald, and I must say on a thing, it was a great write-up. The Tuam Herald is writing such fantastic pieces on juvenile football up and down the county, and especially when it comes to county finals and semi-finals. They do a brilliant...
Because, Hector, that's very interesting because you've kept that information to yourself until they wrote about your gossip. Isn't that amazing? You're in such high praise of them, but it's only when they go...
The level of journalism in the Tuam Herald sports department is... You wouldn't get it in the Sunday Times. You wouldn't get it in Writers, and you wouldn't get it anywhere. The Independent, the Guardian, any of them.
So tell us
the Tuam Herald.
Tell us the story of your gossin, cut the Harla.
Well, Tommy, it's a historic moment for Ballyclare and Galway because we are both. They have won both North Board Under 17 A and B finals. The older brigade with Rean are into a county final against the winners of Mike Cullen and Curra Finn, and that will happen in Pearce Stadium hopefully in a couple of weeks' time. But the great news is that the younger gossins, the bold young boys coming up, Shane is only 15 and they're playing under 17B.
That's a jump
battlefield.
That
Tommy, that's a battlefield. You're on about the shores of Gallipoli. There's Baitons and lambs to the slaughter in places like Killannon and in Cartoon Shamrocks. You're up against mountain men.
Attatok wouldn't have a chance against fucking Cartoon Shamrocks.
You can come up against Cartoon Shamrocks and it's like lambs to the slaughter. Big boys. So Shane... he's been going well. And the other day, didn't he score 1-4 in the North Board final and semi-final and got man of the match, a proud day in Tuam Stadium. And they walked away with the North Board title. But I was so happy for him because he was a small lad. He was the smallest lad in the team, but he got a growth spurt last year. No more are we going to stand at the wardrobe and put the little marks on it. Dad, where am I now? And he's like, down there. Dad, when am I going to grow? But by Jesus, he's grown. And he scored some lovely points. He scored 1-4 and assisted to 2 goals. But he sent me a video, like they do now. It's all there. It was recorded. And somebody had a FaceTime or a video or whatever. And he sent me a picture, a little 40-second clip. And he said, Dad, have a look at this one off the left. Well, I was lying in a hotel in Turkey. And I swear I played it fucking 500 times because he got a quick ball into his chest. He dummies your man, soloed a hop dummy and whips it like a young Bernard Flynn over the bar. And then I just texted him back one word. I said, tasty. And he just went with a smiley face. Louis, I said it to you during the week.
Brilliant.
I'm very proud of him. Very, very proud of him.
Hector, so you're down to Serbia and... those kind of places.
We'll do Serbia and we'll
Did
have
that. Do
you
get any points, Hector, anywhere?
No, we've been drinking some really Sagorskis and Kamaninskis and all these really strong
racehorses.
Eastern Bloc lagers.
Let's say helicopters or something.
Eastern Bloc lagers, 3 of them, and it's rocket fuel.
What's your energy like on the road? Like, are you. Because you started off doing this game when you were, what, 27 or 28, and you were just. You were hopping off wall to wall.
Tommy, that for 20 years we've been doing this, maybe 3 months a year, so I've stayed nearly 4 years in hotels. I've lived for about 4 years in fucking
hotels. You should do a travel guide on hotels around the world.
Oh yeah, I'll put in that guest house last night.
Well,
oh my God.
Hector, we'll have your funeral in a hotel. We'll bury inside under the bed.
The wardrobe.
Oh, the infinite wardrobe. La trencha infinita.
You could come in the wardrobe and out the other way. But no, the energy's fine. We're eating okay. The food isn't bad. It's goulashes and it's soups. And they love lamb and they love horse over here and they love kebabs.
Good. Did you eat horse?
Not yet, but it's on the menu. It's cured horse everywhere we go. They love lamb and they love salads and they love cucumbers. They love eggs.
Cold eggs.
It's not bad. It's not bad. So soups are nice.
What do you think the difference is between the Hector of 27 and the Hector of 52 in terms of working the road?
Sometimes I get awful fucking grumpy and I'll be there looking at the window. I have to put my fucking headphones on to get a buzz. Tommy, it's like you the fucking have to get myself psyched up for this, for fuck's sake. Even though, like, some places give you energy like Istanbul. But when I was in the car there yesterday, the lashing rain at about 20 to 5 in the middle of Bulgaria, and I'm fucking freezing. There's a damp old fucking van, and where we staying and where we going. We get to the Black Sea and it looks like an abyss of darkness.
And the fucking puppeteer is driving the car.
And then Toto the puppeteer goes, we're staying in this lovely traditional guest house. And then your one is fucking at the bottom of the stairs with a fang, and the dog is going, the chihuahua. And I'm going, what the fuck are we doing? Like, why are we doing this to ourselves? And then we're on the WhatsApp group. We don't talk to each other because we just WhatsApp them. Because we're fed up of each other's company.
And you're in the bed fucking dressed head to toe with your own fucking t-shirt on the pillow.
We go to the rooms and we go, well, what are we doing? And Ross is going, I don't give a fuck. And then Evan goes, oh, okay. Anyone hungry? And then I go, I'm sleeping in a fucking boy's bedroom who I don't fucking know. It's like, for fuck's sake. So then when we do get to a nice hotel, it is so nice. I go straight to the bath.
Straight to the bath.
Did you see the goss in whose bed it was when you were driving away?
Coming out of the shed.
Out the window. No, but like in Istanbul, I stayed in the Grand Hyatt, this luxury 5-star hotel where it was all beautiful, modern. I had a bath. I had about 4 baths one day because I was fucking bored. I was just lying in there watching the Thieves of the Night, Jan de Vick, this 17th century Flanders thing, like the Glass Kingdom, Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Yeah. I've done the whole fucking 10 hours already. But look at, then we found a lovely little place last night to go for 2 beers down by the sea. Again, they were all smoking cigarettes when we went in, and we had 2 or 3 beers in this little place by the water. Came back, I put on the 1920s air conditioning thing, the fusty smell.
You went back to the house. Oh, God.
We had to get out of the house. You can't spend too long in these places because it's not good. The wind was coming in the top floor.
Is there any television in the bedroom or anything?
No, I don't. I haven't watched television, and that's something I'm doing now. I'm taking Tommy's advice. I don't care about telly anymore. Yeah. I don't watch it. I'm not interested in television.
That's because you're
anymore.
In a different country.
No, yeah, maybe Bulgarian folk dance television, but I'm not going to watch telly. I don't care about the results. I haven't a clue. I heard Ireland won a game the other day. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm trying to get into the world over here of
be where you are. That's the key to be where you are.
They don't speak a word of English. And when I'm in the middle of a distillery in the mountains with these boys drinking rakia, and there was a guy beside me, must be in his 70s, who worked in the coal mines all his time. And to hear his language being spoken across the table, there's a lovely Slavic Russian feel to the language here. That Slavic barbarian type. These people told that the Romans to fuck off and the Ottomans to get out of here, and the Bulgarians are they're a tribal people, and they're very Stoichkov.
He was the great.
But energy wise, Tommy, plenty of coffees, a few beers at night time. I find if I have a beer every night, then it's in my system. I leave it for a few days and have a few beers, then
good idea.
I'm reaching for
Hector, can I just say it's an absolute privilege to hear your stories from the road.
Thanks, lads. And you know,
you're up there
really
with Billy Connolly in my mind as one of the great natural storytellers of the world. So thank you very much for listening, everybody, this week to the episode. As you can probably tell, I'm in a hotel room in Belfast. Larita is in a hotel room in her house in Knockmore, and Hector is on the road. Tosha Harsalia, Ach by Sherash. Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it. God bless and good luck.
Intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.